This is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Welcome to Screen View episode 40, back in the time of audio only, because I'm stupid this week. I am Peter Van, and the lady you heard is Amy, and if John, can you say hi?
Oh, I'm silent. That's right. I forgot there's no video.
Yeah, you can't wave at the camera.
I wasn't waving. Oh, I was just waiting.
You can't pretend that it's like episode 42 or 41 or whatever. It's good stuff. Okay, so let's see here. We can go straight to the box office. Number one is that really creepy movie, Mama.
Oh, that sounds really, really creepy.
It does.
Still watch it, but still, it's like,
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too interested in it, but I was, as an aside, I don't know if this ties into the quality of the movie Mama at all, but I read an article about how, you know, the quality of movies in January versus what becomes number one in the box office. And it's like all these terrible movies, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, really?
Consistently get number one in the box office in January.
So it's essentially like the dumping ground of crap.
Exactly. It was like, you know, like Under Siege, some other Steven Seagal movie, like a bunch of other crap movies.
Oh, wow. Steven Seagal.
Crap. Yeah.
That is the king of crap, essentially. Okay. Interesting.
I thought that was pretty interesting when that Mama is number one.
Yeah. Well, Zero Dark Thirty.
I also can't say the name of the movie. That sounded like some kind of weirdo.
Well, in that movie, I just kept saying Mama, and I was like, what are they saying? It sounds like they're saying Mama. And then they showed the title of the movie. I was like, oh, they were saying Mama.
And I just watched the movie Dread, and the bad guy in that is named Mama.
Is it spelled M-A-M-A?
Yeah. But her, like, the bad guy's name is like Magdalene something. So it is.
His name was an acronym?
Yeah.
Number two is Zero Dark Thirty. With 15.79 million. Silver Linings Playbook, number three, which I guess because it won some stuff, which we'll get to in a bit, that it's making. Actually, it got a lot of extra theaters. It opened wide, so that's why it made more money. Number four is Gangster Squad. Number five, Broken City. Number six, A Haunted House. Number seven, Django Unchained. Number eight, Les Miserables.
Les.
Nine, The Last Stand. Oh, that's the
Schwarzenegger.
Wow, that Schwarzenegger movie did not make any money. It only made $6.28 million.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
2,900 theaters.
That's not good.
Apparently, nobody likes to see Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But still, it got number nine.
Well, it was in the top ten.
I mean, it comes to the same thing that John was saying, right? It's the dumping ground for crap.
Yeah,
the dumping ground for crap.
It's just like, you know, it's just the crap dumping ground because they don't. I mean, actually, apparently, it's a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it actually did pretty well, like in terms of ratings. Everybody wants to see Mama.
Yeah.
Number 10 is The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, which has so far grossed $287 million domestically.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty good. And has
well,
made...
I guess they made what they intended to make out of it, right?
Yeah, I 80 million more and it'll reach a billion. So, okay. Well, as a little side note, Skyfall is now number 11 in worldwide grosses.
Oh.
At 1.041 million behind Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, I'm sorry. 1.041 billion. I'm sorry. So it needs about another $3 million. $2-3 million to to beat Pirates on Stranger Tides, which is what? Pirates 4, right? It's Pirates 4?
Hmm. I think we lost John for just a moment.
Nope, John's here.
Okay.
You can turn off your video. You can keep the video from swirling, though. Since the video is obviously not
going to come back up. All right.
Yeah, I get to see your pictures now.
My creepy-ass picture?
Yeah.
You're creepy. No, your picture's fine.
You don't have to. I was saying, John, that Skyfall is now number 11 on the world on worldwide grosses list.
Really?
Yeah, $1.041 billion.
What, did it pass one of the Pirates movies?
It passed Star Wars Episode One. Well, actually, it didn't pass it recently. It just needs another $2 million or so, $2.8 million to pass Pirates 4.
Hmm. Crazy. Interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? What's that? Pirates 4, right? On Stranger Tides? It's Pirates
4. Yes, on Stranger Tides.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay. So let's move to the Golden Globes. Since the Golden Globes was a week ago, right? And then next week is the Screen Actors Guild Awards, would be this Sunday, actually. So best motion picture for the Golden Globes was Argo, beating out Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Didn't one of you guys call it?
I don't know.
One of you guys said Argo is probably going to win it, just because it's the one that you don't expect it to.
That sounds like something you would say, Pete.
It's funny, because I was going to say the same thing about you. maybe. It's possible. Jessica Chastain won for actress, best actress in a motion picture. Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, won as best actor as Lincoln. Best motion picture in a comedy or musical is Les Miserables. Jennifer Lawrence won for Best Actress in a Comedy or Musical for Silver Linings Playbook.
Yep.
Hugh Jackman won for Actor in Musical or Comedy in Les Miserables. Let's see. Best Animated Feature Film was Brave, which, I mean, when you compare it to Frankenweenie, Hotel Transylvania, Rise of the Guardians, or Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph. Definitely, I'd have to say that Wreck-It Ralph was probably the one that I'd say that would have given its run for its money. But Brave.
It was the same company.
Exactly. Like, well, actually, one was Pixar and the other one wasn't. It was just Disney. Well, Disney Pictures.
Well, yeah. But I mean, Disney owns Pixar. So whoever wins, they still make the cash.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Yeah. True.
That's all that matters.
They're making money regardless of whichever one, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even if neither of them won.
Yeah. Even if Frankenweenie won, they still would have made money anyway.
Oh, that's right, because it is Walt Disney. Yeah. They had three? Yeah. Wow. Talk about, you know, a total slaughter there.
Yeah. I guess DreamWorks didn't have anything out this year.
Guardians.
They had Rise of the Guardians out this year.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't nominated, though, right?
Yeah, no, it was.
Best Animated Feature Film.
Oh.
All right, then. Moving on. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role was Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables. Best performance by an actor to
support. It wasn't nominated for any of the Oscars.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's why I'm thinking it wasn't nominated.
They don't pay too much attention to animated feature films
anyway. No, but there's a category for best animated feature film.
Right, and it's always these random ones that we've never heard of.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, Brave.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Brave, but the fact that it wasn't even nominated is kind of shocking.
Yeah.
I guess.
I guess they don't really care for...
Care about that kind of thing.
A Russian Santa Claus. How dare he be Russian?
Scottish? Wasn't it Gerard Butler?
I thought he was Russian.
Gerard Butler?
No. The Santa Claus. I thought they made Russian. Anyway. I think they did. I don't know.
I don't know.
But best performance by an actor in a supporting role for a motion picture was Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. Best director for a motion picture, Ben Affleck. Best screenplay for a motion picture, Quentin Tarantino for Django Unchained. And Homeland won the best television series for drama. Best performance by an actor in a television series was Claire Danes for Homeland. I feel like this is just like they kind of just followed
The Emmys?
Yeah, the Emmys.
Is that season one? Is that what they go by?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Because season two just ended.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be in contention. So it would be just season
right.
one.
Okay.
And Damian Lewis won for television series actor. Best television series comedy musical was Girls.
HBO.
I didn't know that was Apatow.
Oh, as a producer?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got his finger in everything.
Mm.
Lena Dunham. Won for actress for Girls. Best performance by an actor in television series is Don Cheadle for House of Lies, which actually just came back this past
week. I know. I'm excited. Yep.
What did you say, Amy?
I said I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I said yep.
Oh, okay. Best miniseries or motion picture made for television, Game Change, which is apparently that's really good. I guess they should watch it.
Yeah, I've got nominated. Well, not nominated. It won.
Yeah, it won. And then Julianne Moore won for the actress for the best actress in a miniseries or motion picture. So it's interesting. And then Ed Harris won for supporting role in Game Change. Maggie Smith won for Downton Abbey for best supporting actress or best actress in a supporting role in a series. What? That's a random category. And then Kevin Costner won for actor in a miniseries or movie for Hatfield and McCoys.
Cool.
So that's cool. It's fun. Golden Globes a couple weeks ago, and Emmys will be this week. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that.
Yep. Perfect.
Here we go. Yay.
You know, my Skype always seems to work fine until I want to use it for a phone call.
I think Skype works fine until you want to actually talk.
Yeah.
I mean, Skype isn't used to call. You know that, right? You know what it's for. It was not originally founded to be an internet phone.
Yeah.
All right, well, we went through the Golden Globes, so now we can talk about our topic, which I hope you guys are... You catch up, Amy? You good?
Yes, I did. Okay. Absolutely. I was watching it that night. Are you kidding?
All right. Spoiler alert. Sound the alarms.
Honk, 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 honk.
Tugboats.
Yes, nuclear. We're going to spoil the heck out of this.
Nuclear explosions. I don't know. Anything. Anything and everything that you can think of. Turn away now. Don't listen. Cover your ears. Muffin.
You.
What is it? Earmuffs.
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 Oh, look. Squirrel.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Chase it.
Go chase the squirrel. Yeah,
we're going to spoil the crap out of the Fringe series finale.
Yep.
And do a little topic, you know, catch up about what we thought about it, what if it was what we expected, and we can go from there. So, I guess we can recap what happened first, which is essentially they won.
They won. Yay!
The plan all along this entire series was... This boy who is an anomaly for like one or two episodes in one of the seasons is back. And they were going to send him into the future to Davos.
The kid that they find that is like the observer child, we find in the end of the season, toward the end of the season, that he is actually an observer child and is... For all practical purposes, the offspring of our observer September, who has been helping out the humans because that's his thing, and we also found out his fate as well. But for right now, we're just going to talk about the kid. So the plan is that they're going to send him into the future, where he's like an anomaly, and they've been hiding him in the past, or at least September was, because they were going to just. Destroy him, and I wasn't quite clear on whether or not he helped create him, but he had like father like regard for him. He was like, oh, he's like, you know, he had this father kind of feeling for him, and so he was hiding him in the past and they find him. And the whole point is to send him into the future to a point where they were just on the verge of changing their genetic code, so that, I guess, as they were experimenting, they were finding that they couldn't have high intelligence without emotions. And so, like, the emotions were taken out because they were sacrificing that for their intelligence. But he's like the anomaly that proves that it can be done, because he's got both high intelligence and he's very empathetic and emotion. He has emotions and stuff, and he knows how to control them and whatnot. So they're going to send him into the future, and he will be put into the time stream at a time when they will be able to kind of study him and see, oh, it is possible, and how do we recreate it? And then that way, the observers won't be going to Earth to take over things and basically terraform the planet and, you know, human race. Oh, goodbye. Sorry, you're going to not live in this new terraformed version of Earth because of what we're doing. That was what the plan was. Did you hear it?
That was good.
Yeah,
we heard it.
Awesome.
It was definitely September's kid genetically. But it wasn't okay. it wasn't like he said, hey, I'm going to donate this so I can have a child. It was just,
okay. Yeah.
That was just the only way that they could procreate, because they started breeding out things that were unnecessary to, I guess, being an observer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so they, obviously they, at one point it was going to be Walter was going to escort him to Davos. And then it turns out that Donald wanted to, because, you know, Donald, once his chip was removed, became from September to Donald.
Yeah.
And then he said, I will escort my own son there. And he, but then, you know, Donald gets shot.
Yes.
And he dies. And then Walter says, okay, I'll do it. And then, so they did it. And then.
It's emotional.
And then Edda comes back to, and then, they go back to that one particular, scene that you consistently have seen. Like the entire time.
Where everything happened, where they lost Edda and the observers invaded. Yeah. They were in the park having a happy family moment, and it actually plays out as a happy family moment.
I actually expect them to, like, psych you out, and then the observers
come
back.
We were just kidding. It didn't work. Yeah.
That would have been a really big psych out.
I guess my only issue with it was that they kept saying that Peter couldn't exist in the timeline because he's the reason, him being in the timeline is the reason that everything got all messed up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well,
but why was he able to still be in the timeline? Why was he not an anomaly at the end? Or a, I guess, what did Walter call it?
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the word.
Yeah, either. I can't remember the word that he used was. But why was
paradox.
Why was he yeah paradox? Why was he okay to be there? I never understood that.
I think that's something that they like fixed in the last season. To be honest, I think they were able to figure that out.
They were even saying it like two or three episodes before the end of the show was that
they were saying that Walter become a paradox.
It's
like
right,
he would go into the future, but he wouldn't be able to come back to the past. Because if he did that, then it would be a paradox. That's what I thought they were saying. And I was like, oh.
Okay. I assumed that they were talking about Peter, which actually it made sense to me that if they went to the future to, you know, fix the timeline, then the timeline would be fixed all the way back to, you know, when Peter was 6 years old and died of a disease. I thought that they were going all the way back to there to fix the timeline.
No, I think it was just right before they invaded that part of the timeline.
How going to the future would have, that's what it would have changed, is the fact that the observers wouldn't have come back at that point to take over. So that would make sense that it would have only go to there. Because everything prior to that was fixed in the last season. So this season was all about the observers and wrapping up that end.
But there's still going to be observers.
There might be observers, but they might have just pulled out, is what they might have done.
Observers saved Peter's life when he was 6 years old.
True, right. True. I'm just saying that up until the point where their daughter, Edda, she disappeared. The point in the park when they actually showed up would not have happened.
Right. And I try not to think too much about the whole time travel thing because it kind of messes with your brain after a while.
Yeah.
But wasn't it because, like, so they invaded because they needed, because those, because they kept experimenting further and further, right? And it got too, essentially, it was like, it turned out to, like, didn't it turn into, like, a battle between them? And then they essentially ruined the Earth.
Yeah.
They needed to come back.
I think that, yeah.
To take over because
the Earth got so ruined by the humans that they came back to stop the humans from ruining the Earth in the future.
Yeah, but then in retrospect to that,
obviously they can't kill the humans because
their presence there because they're changing the planet actually it was making it worse for the humans anyhow. Right. So
yeah, yeah. Talk about paradox.
Yeah, it's like oh well, if we're gonna self destruct ourselves. They're just going to do it for us, but faster and in a different way, and make it in a way so that they can still use the planet.
I think that's just—it's crazy. I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on.
What did you guys think about the fact that September is now a normal human and his name is Douglas?
Donald.
You're right, Donald. My bad. Sorry.
The character.
He's also dead, isn't he?
He's also dead.
Well, he died at the last like couple minutes of the show. But because we haven't talked about that reveal, it was like, what? He's Donald? Yeah, he's Donald. I was like, oh, wow. It's September when I saw him. I was like, it's September.
Yeah.
It's great. It's
like, I kind of figured that it was him kind of before they even showed his face. I don't know why it just came to me. I was like, it's probably September. Or yeah. At the time, I was probably sitting there thinking it's probably one of the observers from before.
Mm.
Yeah. I think as soon as they went into the apartment, I was like, it's September. I didn't think of it a lot.
And my wife was like, who is that? And I was like, he was one of the observers. And she was like, oh, I can't tell.
Yeah.
She couldn't tell it was him because he had hair.
It's true, though. And it's true, though. That's pretty crazy. I think that was, well done that they were able to do that. They were able to kind of roll him back in because, for this entire season, it's like, what happened to him? Where'd he go? And the fact that they brought that out like that, I think that was pretty.
What'd you think of the season overall? I mean, to preface that, I still think that they could have ended the series at the end of last season, and it would have been adequate. You know what I mean?
They would have left all of the observer thread pretty much hanging.
Yeah, I think I would have been okay with that, though.
I would have been okay with it, too, but I'm kind of glad to have had a little bit of opportunity to kind of see how that ends. But I was always kind of curious what would happen if Olivia and, you know... why am I having such a hard time remembering his name? Peter, yes. Sorry, Peter. I should have already known that. It's like it's Peter's name. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I always wondered what Peter and Olivia, you know, having kids and whatnot, and moving on with their life and all that. I was kind of a little interested in, you know, finding out what that would have been like, and so it was kind of interesting to see them just be themselves and parents, but then at the same time it was like, oh gosh, you know, all this bad stuff happened to them. They couldn't have a happy ever after like they did in Walternate's reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what you need to see, the way I'm seeing it is that 1 through 4 is one whole thing, and then 5 is just essentially like a what if scenario. Because that's essentially what happened, right?
It's I look at it as like an epilogue.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the end, and then, if, you know, for additional reading, see...
Exactly. Because it got to the point where the season started where it ended. I mean, it ended where it started, which is essentially, you know, their kid, the invaders, the observers invading, and then that's how it started, and then it ended the same way. So it was essentially what's that?
Without the invasion.
Right. So it was essentially like a reset. It was essentially like a what if scenario that I wanted to explore for the hell of it. And I think that's also, they definitely wanted to explore something like that, you know, how the observers would take over the planet, because they kept hinting at it for four seasons, how they would, you know, how.
Yeah, see, that's why I say I thought it was pretty, you know, good that they put that in there. Because they'd been hinting at it for so long, and you're like, oh,
yeah. Yeah, but a positive.
But I think early on they were just like, you know, the observers weren't going to be taking over. It was just they just happened to be at important points in time, and they were just there to, as their name implies, observe. And then the observers that were sent back to observe became too attached to the humans, like September did.
Yeah.
And then it kind of messed everything up.
Well, yeah, he's been interfering since Peter.
Right.
And I kind of almost want to say, well, it's kind of his fault that that whole happened.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. And that's why I kind of thought that resetting the timeline would reset it all the way back to the beginning without any observers at all.
Mm. That's one idea, yeah.
Where, you know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, Peter would die, but wouldn't have this terrible future ahead of everything.
Yeah. Well, no, they just fixed the whole thing of them invading. That was pretty much it. So,
I think, I mean, for you guys overall, I mean, how did you feel about this series overall? And
I thought it was really good. I mean, I guess I feel like they could have gone a little bit further if they had not got too tied up with the overall stories so quickly. If they had kept it more of a like a villain of the week type thing, or a monster of the week type thing, like the X-Files did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we keep comparing it to the X-Files, but it was very similar to that show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it had a very X-Files vibe.
And the problem with the X-Files is that they never went to the overarching story, almost. And it was like, by the time they got to it, it was people had stopped watching.
It's like season 8.
Yeah. So
they changed everything in season 8, though.
Yeah.
Like, the same people were not the same people. And Fox Mulder, the heart, the glue of the show, was not Fox Mulder there anymore.
Right.
He'd been abducted. There was somebody else. It was the guy. It was the T-1000, exactly. It was like, it's the Terminator. Don't trust him. Nobody was exactly. He tried so hard. We're like, no, it can't be him. He's a part of the problem.
But anyway, I feel like it would have had like a bit of a longer life on TV if it had straddled the line a little bit more of, you know, being very heavy with the overarching stories as opposed to Monster of the Week. Because Monster of the Week, you can bring audiences in and then drop hints of the overarching story as you go, which is what they were doing in the first season, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Then past
that's
that,
a good
it was
season, yeah.
Yeah, past that, it was kind of like, you know, well, now there's another universe. They have to stop the other universe, and you know,
it's probably because it was at that point where they were starting to become like a bubble show. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, we have to start getting this more interesting and maybe try to flush out some of the ideas that we had to kind of make this an actual show
before it ends.
Yeah, before it actually gets canceled. And it's
before
like
the bucket.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. if we you know, invest more information into one season, and then as it continues, it's like, look, Fox, if you cancel us now, look at all these great ideas and great storylines for the main plot line that you're going to miss out on. Right.
Right.
And they like, here's what we have mapped. We have four seasons mapped out. We have a fifth season if you option us. And this is what we're going to give you. And then so each season, they say, OK, we know nobody's really watching us. But this is what we have for this season. And this is how we'll do it. And you can pay us less. You know, we're going to make these episodes for cheaper. Yada, yada. You know, we'll move to Vancouver, you know, all that stuff. And then Warner Brothers says, yeah, this show is supposed to go on because I want to syndicate this sucker. So,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
it's very similar to, you know, a lot of television series has been like that, right? They play a lot of these things games and number games and things just so they could get syndicated and make some of the money back that they lost during the initial production of the show.
Then there's a lot of plot lines that they hinted on early on in the series and just away. Like, you kind of got them in the first few episodes of the entire show. You can remember that far back that Peter owed some money or someone was looking for him. And then, like, three or four episodes, like, he was fine. He was with the FBI. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, when she tracked him at first, right?
Not at all. Yeah. And then in the second season, there was supposed to be, like, another agent who was there for a few episodes that was, like, a religious... She's supposed to put, like, a religious spin on things. And her character went away after, like, two or three episodes.
Hmm.
And there was, like, other things they could have fleshed out that just kind of... And I understand what you're saying, Pete, that, you know, they got to show where you're going or else it could just get stagnant.
Yeah, kind of like... Yeah, kind of very similar to what happened to Jurassic Park Hour, Terra Nova, right?
Yeah.
They're like, we made money on this show, but we
But they just... left it before it could get to a point where it was going to, you know, go downhill or that type of thing.
Yeah, and it's like they just didn't have any... Their ideas were just not good enough for a second season.
Yeah. But they left it in a good place, which is kind of cool.
When you were talking about that religious person, John, you meant that girl who they hired for like two episodes for the FBI, and then like the next season they just never talked about her again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was supposed to be like the Olivia Jr., and then she never existed afterwards.
Right. She was like, totally was just gone. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about?
She never existed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I liked what they did with this. I mean, like, zero, the one through four, you know, had its track and all that. And I know that, like, the last season, it was pretty much, they were pretty much aware that we're only going to give you one more season and you got to wrap it up. And so I like what they did in the fact that they kept it pretty self-contained. I kind of hoped that they had done that a little bit more with some of the other ones. But then, the way that, looking back, you're like, okay. You know, what was the point of some of the different seasons? And now I'm like, oh, I don't remember all of the seasons and everything they went through. I've been helping out my mom who's been trying to get through it. She's like, what is this? Like, just keep watching, mom. Just keep watching. but, you know, for what we got, it was a great show.
Yeah.
By the end, I was really happy with it, even though I'm sad that it's still going. But then I'm like, okay, what could they do from here on? I was like, well, I don't know. I guess they could figure something out. But... You know, it's in a good place.
There are writers paid to think of that.
Yeah, and they have writers to think of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not by all means complaining about the show or anything like that. I wish that TV studios had a little more faith in the product that they're putting out.
Yeah.
Right.
And let it breathe. You know, not just let it breathe, but you know, let it go for a while.
But they did. They certainly did do a lot of
five seasons.
Five seasons
is a long time
for the show, right? Because in this past, the last episode, they sprayed all of these like different contaminants throughout the entire series. You know, like
how they did it with all the fringe events. They basically took all the fringe events and put it into a nice little big spray and.
Yeah.
That was great. I was like, oh my gosh, it's funny. I mean, it was sad at the same time. It was like, all these people are like dying in really morbid ways, but it was just kind of like, oh gosh. There you go, observers. You wanted to bother the fringe team. They're going to use their fringe against you. Booyah.
Yeah.
I do like that at the end. I don't know. So Amy... So John and I were talking before right before the show when when Peter got that flower. So you finally know what happened to that paper flower, right?
Yeah.
What Walter did with it. And he had sent it right before the invasion. And I guess he was like giving it to him to give him strength because he has a daughter, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But the way he looked afterwards, what did you think? What did you get from that look?
I don't That was the thing where I was like, okay, I wasn't quite sure if he got what the flower meant, because he had this look on his face like, hmm. But then it was like, because obviously at that point, Walter's gone. And does he remember what he was told? And I was like, I don't know, because like he did come from a displaced, like, you know, he was kind of like out of the timeline already was as it was. They fixed that. But would he retrograde remember? And I'm like, I don't know if he would. And so I thought, I was having more of a reaction because I knew what it meant. I don't think that I wasn't quite sure if Peter knew what it went, what it meant. So I was like,
Right. That's what, can you remember the future?
Or can you remember an alternate timeline future?
Right.
He can remember the alternate timeline, but he can't remember a future.
But I don't know if you're supposed
to. I don't know. It was really hard to. I think it was more something that would be lost on him at that point, but actually would mean something to the audience.
I mean, technically, he hasn't watched that. He hasn't found the video that Walter left for him saying he was going to.
That too.
Mail him the because the video was in the amber.
Yeah.
Right. Which, well, at that point, it didn't even exist yet.
Right.
Well, he could have sent it back, but you never know. I mean,
He somehow sent it.
The U.S. Postal Service delivers the mail through separate timelines.
No, he would just find a way to pop back into the past, put it in there, and then disappear. And because it's an inanimate object, I wouldn't think that it would have that much of a problem creating a paradox, because it's not like it's not going to do anything other than just be there and leave a message. Leave a message. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not exactly. I felt that the way he looked at the end, he kind of may have known something. But then again, it may not even. Well, obviously, it doesn't matter, and we'll never get the answer.
Yeah, we'll never get the answer. And I kind of like that they left it hanging like that. But, you know, you're right. You're wondering. The only other thing I can think of is the fact that maybe they've talked about the white tulip before in the past, when he used it in the past. But that was, of course, maybe something that was done off screen. And the only reason why they put it in the last season was just for the benefit of the audience.
The white tulip was in the show.
Yeah, but he never talked to Peter about it.
Yeah, I don't know if they were both in on the white tulip thing.
Yeah, they never really talked about it. It was just something that he did for himself, that he sent himself.
Right.
But he never really sat there and said, Peter, I you know, this is what this significance means to me, and blah, 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 blah. That was something that he discussed in the future, and I kind of got the sense that he kind of understood what it meant, but the context in which he was giving it to him was maybe one that he was like, okay, so why are you giving it to me again? You know, and so he told him in the future, but then we saw it in the past because, like I said, it was more for the benefit of the audience than it was for Peter, and he'll figure it out eventually. It's confusing. This is why time dilation and all of that stuff is just, you know, going forward and then backward and creating paradoxes.
Yeah, once you start
really
resetting
hard to keep it all together.
Once you start resetting timelines, things get a little confusing, for sure.
But this is Fringe's calling card.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I watched Looper, and Jeff Daniels has a line in that movie where he goes, "Don't think about the way the time travel works; it just messes with your brain."
Yeah,
exactly.
It was a little more graphic than that, but
yeah.
Well, the thing is that the ones that do it really easy are the ones that just keep it simple. And Fringe has not ever kept it simple. How many times have we had, like, you know, Peter's been moved out of one time group and put into another, and or one time dimension into another. Then time resets itself, except he's not supposed to exist, but somehow he does, and he can remember everything that happened before and everything that's going to happen next, and it's just kind of like...
And that's the other thing that confuses me, is that he's a paradox as it is, because he's not even in the right dimension.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He should be in a different, you know...
He's supposed to be in the alternate universe.
Well, not only that, is you go to the alternate one in the end of the last two, you know, the last season... The last episode of the season, and she walks through the dimension to the other, you know, world to jump back and then to go back the same way that she came there. And the kid is there, which is Peter's kid from a previous timeline.
Yeah.
That got deleted, and I was like, oh my gosh, it just messes with your brain. And I saw the picture with the other Olivia and the other guy that she's with, and it just kind of went, oh gosh, wow, that is so complicated just looking at that. I thought, wow, Fringe has been going on for way too long.
And then I got super confused because the observers can travel. I know they can travel through time and all that kind of stuff, but then I wasn't aware that they were aware
of the alternate
of how to travel to the alternate universe.
Yeah.
Even that they could do that.
Or maybe that is, I'm not sure how they were.
I mean, it's one thing that they knew about it because September saved Peter when he came back from the other universe as a child.
Yeah.
But they were never over on the other side, at least when, you know, we saw the other side.
Yeah, right. They never. Right. I don't remember them actually being on that side. Huh.
It's just things that struck me as odd. That's all.
Wait, right.
Because when that happened, my reaction was like, "Oh my god, what is happening?
Yeah,
why is he able to do that?"
Yeah, but then did you notice that they were able to? It's as if they didn't have as much. Because they were able to kill them with like regular bullets,
right?
When they obviously they
also wasn't paying attention, I guess.
Way too fast for the other bullets, right?
I guess if they had fleshed it out a little bit more, or there was some kind of like manual for us to read,
yeah.
Like if they travel through dimensions, you know, it makes them slower, or they can't read the times correctly because it's not their dimension. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. It's
crazy.
Obviously, the worst part about having a show that ends is that there are so many things that they wish they could explain that they can't explain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess 13 episodes is not really a lot of time to explain a lot of these things. So obviously, run out of time.
They did the best they can with what they had. And I'm sure that there are things that we'll probably think of later and go, oh yeah, there was that, that, and that. But you know what? They created a problem that they fixed in 13 episodes. They actually created a problem that they started with last season. Because there was two episodes where they went into the future.
One episode, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think this was probably not as divisive as a recent show that lasted for this amount of time that people really loved and then hated at the end because they thought, you know.
Oh, are you saying Lost?
Yes. Yes.
Where they got to the end and they were like, I called it. You guys are liars. And yeah.
And some of them were. But some of them were misunderstood the entire show. But anyway.
Yeah.
This is obviously not as divisive. I guess I wasn't too excited. I think at the end, finally, like that, not too sure I really was too excited for this season. And I mean, it was cool that they got to explore a lot of the things that they hinted at. But at the same time, it was like, okay, this, I think because at the end they succeeded and they won and they reset the whole timeline, it's kind of like, okay, this entire season was just, it
was a little pointless, yeah.
Yeah, it was a full circle, you know? And it was just to the point where near the end, it was like, okay, it could have ended where Woodmark essentially could have killed all of them in one fell swoop, but didn't.
And like, they had to resist. The more I think about it, when they went to the future in season four, it was right before the end of the season, and, you know, the one observer said to Olivia that she needed to die. And that whole trip to the future kind of just drove that home and that Etta was carrying around the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And you found out later on that the bullet didn't actually, I mean, it killed her, but they were able to save her life.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, you know, just because they went to the future, they didn't need to necessarily explore that Because, you know, the fact that they pulled the bullet out could have just reset that whole timeline. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. But, okay. All right. You guys have any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I thought they... I'm just happy with how they did it. I'm satisfied. I think I remember tweeting that, you know, regardless of what, you know... Sad that it's going, but I was satisfied with the ending, so...
I'm curious where we'll see some of the actors next.
I wish that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and this actually kind of, like... I feel like recently there's a lot of these shows that had these, you know, people acting in teen, you know, oriented shows... Mm-hmm. That finally are able to show that they actually know how to act and that they actually aren't just, you know. So like Joshua Jackson 4 with Fringe, and then Brian Austin Green with the shortly lived Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people really enjoyed him in that show. So it's really cool that, you know, he's actually able to say, hey, look, I can actually act and do stuff. So hire me for another show. It would definitely be really cool that to see them again.
Yeah.
In other shows and see how they come out. So
definitely.
All right. Well, that was a great, you know, just overall discussion of the series finale and the series overall of Fringe. Hopefully maybe next time we will have less Skype difficulties and go back to the future and actually do some video for a chance.
All right.
For a change. Cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, so for episode 40, this is Peter and John and Amy, and we will see you guys next time.
Alrighty. See
you guys, hear us, guys? Anyway, goodbye.
We'll see ya.
See ya.
You've been watching Screen View. Like us and leave comments on our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/Screen View Show. Follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show and email us at screenview@tfradio.net. Visit us on tfradio.net/Screen View for show notes, archives, and to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at TF Radio Network. Watch this and other TF Radio Network shows on your TV. Visit tfradio.net/TV to learn more. Screenview is a Radio Free Cybertron production.